Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. We're touching base with people who are tapping trees during the Sugar Bush this year. And today I'm talking with Murr Gilman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're Zooming. People in the radio land can't tell. Can't tell what we're doing exactly here. So how's the season going for you so far?
It's good. I've never started boiling this early. I started boiling on the 13th, and according to my extensive records, we would typically not start, I got to move my screen, sorry, start boiling until closer to the end of March.
Oh, did you say this is the earliest you've started?
It is the earliest that I've started. I've been tapping trees in the sugar bush, as you say, for I think it's about 9 years.
Okay.
And but I was fortunate enough to be able to acquire the record books of the guys that taught me what I know. And so I put all that their data into a spreadsheet, and then I keep track of it.
Who taught you?
You know, Bob Montebello recruited me to join him up at Buena Vista. They'd been tapping trees with Earl Dickinson, and then Les Peterson was his partner at that time. And I think they needed some younger legs. And so I started working with them and learned their methods, and then took it from there and did a lot of reading and talking. I really enjoy talking to other people about what they're doing and finding out what works for them, like as far as boiling. And I've moved away from the larger taps or splines, I think they're called. They used a 7/16, so you drill a hole in the tree that's using a 7/16 drill bit. And I've gone to a 5/16 to do a smaller hole, heals faster, shouldn't leave as much scar tissue, if you will, in the tree. And but now I see the industry's kind of going to a 1/4. Yeah.
Drives that kind of change?
I think research showed that you could use a smaller tap and still get almost as much sap. When they went from 7 to 5/16, it was slightly less sap. And now what I'm reading is that the 1/4 inch doesn't change your sap recovery or sap collection at all. So yeah, it's a good thing.
It's fascinating. How many taps do you have out right now?
I believe we have 132.
Whoa. What kind of a yield are you predicting?
You know, I don't know. I last year, where we're tapping trees now, we've only been there for 2 years. So this is our third season. And the first year we had about 650. We were delighted. And we had around gallons of sap. And we were delighted with that because we didn't know what to expect from those trees. And although I had the records, but last year was phenomenal. And we had 960 gallons of sap. And then that, of course, boiled down to over 20 gallons of syrup. So I don't know what to expect this year. It's drier year. It's an early year. So much of it depends on the temperatures. Like this week looks fantastic, like highs in the 40s and lows in the 20s. The frost isn't out of the ground yet, but we've already started boiling. It could be really big, or it could, as some of us have been talking about, it could be one and done, one big run, and then they shut down. And you have to stop collecting sap when the buds come out on the trees. They'll still produce some sap, but it has a sour taste to it, which, of course, you don't want for maple syrup, sweet old maple syrup. Yeah. And the other thing that'll shut them down is temps that don't get below freezing for an extended period of time. So I just looked at the forecast for this upcoming weekend, and it 50s for highs, and then lows are like 30. That's, you know, you want it to get into the 20s at night.
What's the process like when all this goes down?
Oh, you know, we tap trees. We haul everything right now by hand. So we're out on about 4 acres of land and hauling buckets around. And we're older and we carry 2.5 gallons in each bucket. So when we get back to the shack, we've got maybe five gallons. That's 40 pounds. And we probably walked a block or something. Depends. Some of the trees are really close. And then we filter it into a barrel. And then I have a little solar panel and we pump it around. So I pump it to a feeder tank. And then I'm not your average backyard evaporator. I have a pretty fancy evaporator. So it has a float box. And so that feeder tank just feeds the float box. It keeps the sap level in the pan even. And then, I also have a divided pan, and so I can pull off when there's some syrup in the finished part of the pan that's ready. And then we take it home. We still have to boil it down a little bit more, and then we bottle it.
You do it all.
And then we give it to friends.
I was going to say.
And sometimes radio people.
Well, that sounds marvelous.
Yeah, exactly.
You do all syrup? You don't make any candies or anything like that?
Not unless I have something that's really looks awful and I don't. I like syrup that you can see through and that's really pretty. My guiding principle is if I'm going to give you some syrup, I want you to feel like you got something that you could have gone to the store and bought. I mean, I want that quality. That's me. Other people, you know, they don't. It doesn't matter. But if I have something that's really dark and lots of not debris, but cloudier, then maybe I'd try to do some candy. I haven't done much of it.
What contributes to that darker, cloudy?
Yeah, that is probably, I'll say, debris that's in the sap. And that's why we filter it a lot. Like if they're twigs and oh, there are lots of things that end up in your sap sometimes. And like not now with the system that I'm using, but I found mice that drowned in our buckets before. And of course you get those out, but any kind of debris in there, you know, if you can filter it out before you start cooking, that's really good. Then the other thing that contributes, it changes over the season too. The first syrup is always lighter and the later you go, the more amber color it gets. But if it burns in the pan or if you've got a hot spot on the pan and it starts to do some, I guess I'd call it enzymatic browning, it turns darker and then it just continues to get dark. And the advantage of the type of pan that I have is that finished syrup doesn't sit in that pan and continue to cook. It is, you pull it off and then you bring in a new batch, you know, a new batch flows into the finished pan, finished part of the pan. So people have their own preferences and mine is that I like to see through my syrup.
When you started 9 years ago, you said?
About, yeah, when I retired, it's a good retirement activity.
Because it's kind of a constant, you have to tend to it all the time.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Did
you know that you wanted to do that? I didn't grow up where there were a lot of trees in central South Dakota. So when I moved up here and this was all brand new to me, was that what it was like to you when you got here?
You know, I had, I grew up where there were trees. You know, I had helped Bob during a spring break once early in the 2000s. And I saw those guys that were retired and they're all hanging around the fire. And it was a very different process then. And it took forever. Like my evaporator will do close to 20 gallons an hour, whereas the one we were using at that time was 5 gallons an hour. So there's a lot of time to kill. And my dog, he would come and pick up my dog and take her to the sugar bush with him for the day, you know, and I just thought, that's a lifestyle I can handle. Yeah. And so then when he wanted me to help when I retired, and I just got hooked. It was like, I'm a skier, as you know, a cross country skier. And in the spring when the snow goes away and the ground is brown and sometimes still frozen, it's like, what do? And you want to be outside. So this is like the perfect thing to give me exercise, get me outside. I shouldn't let it stress me, but sometimes it does because there's a lot to do. You know, we use wood to fire the stove. So you got to always have wood available. And, you know, but that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, good luck today. You'll be gathering and boiling today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll gather if it runs today, and we'll be boiling. And then I'll probably start drawing off some syrup a little later in the week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now you just queued up a whole new thing I need to get into, because I do kind of go through this lament when ski season tapers off and I'm like, yeah, what do I do now?
Well, you know what? Some of us skied on Saturday morning and it was so fun. And I said, let's ski again tomorrow. And I went out on the trail. I walked out to the trail and the snow was gone just like that. Yeah. So yeah. I was glad I had something else to do.
Yeah. Well, have fun today. Good luck.
Yeah. Have a great day, Katie.
Thank you.
Thanks
for joining me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Mer Gilman. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.